The other part is we have a guest speaker this morning. And so Faith Liebert has been with YWAM for quite a while. And we are inviting her up to share with you all that she has been a part of. And if you'd like to come up, and I'll say a quick prayer, and then I will turn over the microphone to you. All right. Lord, I just thank you so much for what you have been doing in Faith's life, and Lord, the calling that you had put on her life to follow you in this special way through the mission of Youth with a Mission. And Lord, we know that you have used her for just sharing your gospel, and you have brought people into her life to also continue discipling. And Lord, I just pray that what she shares with us this morning would be a challenge maybe for us, and that we can share your good news wherever we are at as well. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with Faith this morning, give her the words to speak. And Lord, help us to hear with our open hearts. And Lord, we just again thank you for all that you've done in her life and through YWAM. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
All right. So yeah, as many of you know, I'm Faith, Troy and Deanna's daughter. And back in September, I decided to do a DTS. DTS is a discipleship training school that YWAM has. It's 5 months. It has two parts, lecture phase and outreach phase. I did my lecture phase in Kona, Hawaii. It's a little town on the Big Island. Classes were starting on September 16th, but due to complications with COVID and everything going on at the time, I was unable to leave until September 27th. So I showed up a little late, having no friends. I wasn't really part of any of the groups that were already starting to form. I had really no sense of belonging there. It was really tough for me the first couple weeks. But feeling out of place and alone, I spent a lot of my time afternoons are hot there, but late at night I would stay up on my lanai and I would read and talk to God. And during one of the first Monday worship sessions, one of my fellow DTS students came up to me with a word from God saying that even though I'm alone, I feel like I'm alone right now, this is my new family that God has placed me in for the time being. Later that night, he even confirmed that word with a dream. A figure that I know as like a big brother to me, he came to me in a dream and I was like hiding from him, even though like I knew he was Jesus and I was hiding. I was like, no. And he's like, no, it's okay. Like, it come out. Like, I want to protect you. I'm your big brother. And that's kind of how God was with me, through lecture phase. During the next 3 months of lecture phase, God had taught me a lot more about his nature. He kind of rewired my thinking to see that he was a loving father, a protective big brother, and like a mother, he was ready to listen to all of my problems. I gave my life over to him again, and in this time, I don't want to turn back. So then there was outreach, and my team from Mexico, over half of the school had actually chose to go to the Dominican Republic. So they actually had to pull those kids and send them to Mexico because there was just too much going on over there. They had three teams. One of the teams was supposed to go to Haiti, but because of everything that went on with Ryan and his family, they decided not to send a bunch of children there. So they all ended up going to Dominican, but my Mexico team, when we actually found out who was on the team, none of us really knew each other. I knew like one other girl on my team because we had such a big DTS class. So we all just kind of like got in a circle and we're like, oh, this is who we're going to be with. It was really awkward the first couple weeks. But when we had intercession and everything for our Mexico team, three of the big words were family, unity, and joy. And I really feel like at the end of outreach, we encompassed all of those things. We were really a family. We really had just joy in everything we did. It was really awesome to be with those people. I think maybe How does this work? Okay. Yeah, so this is my team. There's Natalie, Emma, Josh, me, Ashlyn, Evan, Rena, Emily, Ricky, and Bella. And we're missing Nora. She's from Hungary. She was the oldest one in our DTS and actually on our team. She was 32 years old with a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds, so she had a lot of fun with us. But I just have some pictures. So one of the missions ministries we did in Mexico, in Mazatlan, we did Bibles for Mexico. So basically, we would start in the morning, we'd get our backpacks full of Bibles. There it is. We'd set out and go to the colonias and knock on doors, like, buenos dias, buenas tardes, tengo una Biblia gratis para ti, which basically translates to, I have a free Bible for you. We had some translators they liked to do a lot of the talking because they knew what, you know, to expect, but one of my favorite, I actually don't have a picture of him, I'm really bad about that. One of my favorite translators, his name was Martin, and he would actually like hide behind one of the cars so that we had to do all the talking, and he's like, if they say no, just say gratis, and just kind of give it to him, like, it's free, like, it's okay. He's like, we know what they need, they don't know. He was really cool, though. Some of the people we gave Bibles to, though, actually said that they had been praying for a Bible, and this was like an answer to their prayers. So it was really cool being that tool for God's work. Also, when we would do missions there, we had origas, which are like big red pickup trucks with benches in the back. And one of the drivers, he was used to coming because, you know, you'd have to call him, and he was the one who usually came to the base there. And so he had actually got saved a few months beforehand, and he had took us for Bibles a few times there. If they're not home, we would leave it where they can see it. Okay, that's something else. Anyway, one of the Origas drivers, he actually had asked us if we could come to his house and talk to his wife. And so we brought a Bible, we had a whole worship session, and I wasn't a part of the team because there was lots of other teams there too. But they brought her to the Lord, and that night it was like 9 o'clock, and they brought her to the ocean and they had a baptism right there. It was a really powerful night. But this is Homes of Hope. So a lot of people, when you say Homes of Hope in Mexico, you're like, oh, you're building homes. But no, we didn't do that. We built a lot of the relationships with the people that were staying in the homes that they built. We got to throw a birthday party for this little girl. I cannot pronounce her name, so I won't be saying that. But she was super sweet. We ended up doing like a little Bible study with the kids. We had about 30 there. We had a dance party. We had a bunch of balloons. Let me see. And that's Durango. But we got to, throw a birthday party. We played and danced. During Homes of Hope, we also got to one of the families that we helped there. When we first got there, it was like the first week during outreach. And we got to see the plot of land that they had. And it's like about this big. And it was full of thorns. It had broken beer bottles. It was just full of just everything. And we got to help them clear it out. We got to pray with them, kind of ask them like what they want, like the placement and everything. We got to talk them through all of that. And then by the time we were leaving Mexico, they had their home built. They were actually putting in a plumbing system for a bathroom, and they were even building a wall around it. And we got to help watch the kids while they did some of the work. And there is pictures in here I'll have to show you later. But that was kind of what we did with that. It was probably one of my favorite ministries, just because you got to see the hope in these people's lives and just kind of see that grow as we went. It was really cool. But this was in Durango. Yeah, during our time in Mexico, we got to spend a week in Durango, so we weren't just in Mazatlan the whole time. We got to stay with the family, Edgar and Amber, and their three wonderful children. We had lots of dance parties and played cards with them and babysat while they had a birthday party to go to, so we watched the kids one night. It was really fun. But they're starting up a Durango YWAM base in their home while they're building a second home for more teams and ministries to start there. While we were in Durango, we got to help at a Haitian refugee house, and this was the cancer rehab center that we painted. We did a lot of the painting on the outside, and on the inside, we also did some like electrical work and just cleaning up around the woman who runs the base or the rehab center. Only has like her daughter and her small son helping her. So that was definitely a blessing for her. While we were at Edgar and Amber's also, we got to help plant some trees and help kind of clean up the home that they're building for future teams. These were some of the blankets that we had for the Haitian refugees. We got to go through a bunch of donated clothes and separate. There was so many clothes, you have no idea. this is Edgar's daughter. And my friend Ricky, she was a sweetheart, I love her. We also got to help clean Edgar's sister. They finally were able to buy their own home. So we got to go help them kind of clean up and prepare to repaint it and just kind of get it ready for her family. This is also in Durango. We got to go to a couple feeding centers and pray with the kids, play with the kids. I only learned like one song in Spanish, but the kids loved it, so it was lots of fun. Also, after Durango, we were back in Mazatlan for a while, and we did some street evangelism. I can't find the paper, but I'm going to wing it. Street evangelism. So we would meet in the cafeteria, and we would have intercession, and we would just kind of pray and ask God, you know, show us some things that you want to point out to us. Like, we got the color green. One of my friends got a staircase, the letter E, a wheelchair, all of these things. So while we're out walking on the streets, we would look for someone in a green shirt or something with like a big letter E, like if it's a store or something. Like, we would just like look for these things that God had pointed out to us. And on this one particular dare, we found the guy with the green shirt and the letter E. So we're like, that's the one. it was really cool. He wasn't really sure. His friends are kind of making fun of him. He's like, oh, well, I got a letter E, and he's got like a bunch of writing on his shirt. And we're like, yeah, but, you know, we just feel really called to this guy. And he took it really well. It was really awesome. While we were out, these are a bunch of surfers. So what they do during the Mazatlan busy season, there's a big staircase basically up to this mountain, and the surfers will jump off into the water, climb up real quick, go to the tour buses and be like, dinero, dinero, for tips and stuff. That's how they make their money during when they can't surf. But we got to pray with them, and actually my friend Natalie, the one with the braid, she's the one who felt called over to them. And when we were with them, they actually asked if we had any extra Bibles and in English, because they wanted to practice their English and they also wanted to start getting more into the Word of God. And she had actually brought an extra English Bible to Mexico, like thinking maybe, you know, somebody will need this. And so she was able to give that to them. It was really cool seeing that all work out. Also with the wheelchair, we saw this sweet old lady. So we prayed for her. She was having some problems with selling her home, and then just health and things. Okay. This was the dump ministry. Probably one of the hardest, emotionally and just spiritually. We would start out 9 a.m. in the morning, go out. I can't find it. we would go to this little grocery store. There's a man named Coco, and he was converted to Christianity while he was in prison. He had a really tough background, and he felt like he needed to give back to his community and do better for the Lord. So he started this ministry, actually, and YWAM kind of came to him to help him. But every Tuesday, they make a meal. It's not in the next pictures, but they make a meal, cut up a lot of fruit, make juice. They have, fruit, juice, and then usually meat and rice or tortillas or however they do it that week. But every Tuesday, they'll go to the dump. There's families living there. And in the dump, it's just, you can't flush toilet paper in Mexico, so it all ends up somewhere. So the smell and just the dirtiness and just everything, it can be really overwhelming. This woman, she was 64 years old. She's been working in the dump since she was 12. She said she makes money there because they separate the plastics and they do recycling. And when they do that, they can make money. She says when it was good, she'd make about 1,000 to 1,200 pesos a day, which converts to about $50 to $60. She said recently it's been really bad, so she's only making 200 pesos a day, which is $10. These people have nothing. We got to pray with her. She was having some back pain and just, you know, financial help for everything she needed. She said, though, and you would think this is kind of funny, but she's been working there since she was 12. She's 64 now. She's only took 2 months away from this dump ever. And in those 2 months, she started getting really, really sick. So she decided to go back. And when she came back, she said everything was fine. So her immune system had adapted completely to this environment. And it was really crazy. But yeah, these are some pictures of the trash they have separated. If you can see in the background, there's some huts that they have. They live in the vehicles there. There's another hut. These kids, we got to play with them. This confetti looking stuff is actually tuna can wrappers. This was a very emotional day for me, but we got to throw confetti around with these kids while my team leader, she's working on her Spanish, and she got to talk and pray with the kids' family in Spanish. And so that was really, really good day for her. Here we are playing with them. it was a good day, but there's all of us together. Also, while we were that day, we had done intercession before going to the dump to kind of see where God had wanted to point us. And we got a few different things. I saw like a white tub, like a big white tub, and one of my friends saw the color red. I saw like a V and then like a Chrysler, and just, you know, some other things. But actually that night, it was a really tough time for me. I was kind of lacking in my quiet times with the Lord. I didn't want to go to worship. It was a pretty small room, smaller than this, and there would be about 250 people in this room. And so it was just really crowded. Half the time worship was in Spanish, half the time it was English. It was just a lot going on, and it was just so much for me. And I had a very emotional day here at the dump, and I just didn't want to go to worship. But my team leader had suggested strongly that I go. So, and that day I had actually did have my quiet time with the Lord. And so during worship, I was like, okay, Lord, like, this isn't just about me and you. Like, do you want me to pray for anyone in this room? And, God kind of, he's like, yeah, remember those, the color red and the V? And I was like, oh yeah. So I saw this guy, standing in the corner. He had a red coat on with a big white V on his arms. I was like, oh, okay. So that's the one you want me to pray for. Okay. And I was like, God, give me the strength. Give me the drive to do this. And, he's like, just do it. And I was like, but what do you want me to say? Because I don't even know if he speaks English. I don't know if he's going to bring someone else into this. Like, I want to know what I need to say before I just go. And he's like, just go. It's okay. Like, I got you. And I was like, I don't want to. I was like, can you send someone else to go start praying for him? And I can just kind of come in the background and I can say what I need to say. And he's like, no, just go. Like, it's okay. You got this. And I was like, maybe one of my team members need a prayer. Like, I don't want to go. I was like, I don't feel comfortable. And God's just like, go, I got you. And eventually I was like, okay. And this path, and it's crowded in there all the time, but this path opened straight up to this man. And I was like, I don't want to do it. And I just like backed down. And in that moment, I felt so much shame and so much guilt and so much just, wow, I just disobeyed God. Like, even delayed obedience is still disobedience in God's book. And I was really taken aback by that. And I was like, God, I'm so sorry. Like, it was just a simple go. And I was going to the dump and talking to these people I don't even know. But I'm too scared to go to this fellow believer and go pray for him. And I'm like, I am so sorry. And so I asked God to forgive me. I said, give me another chance. I can do this. As the path had closed, I was like, God, just give me another chance. I'll go this time. I promise. And as soon as I opened my eyes again, the path had opened and I went. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know if he speaks English. I don't know what's going to go on, but I just went. And I got to him and I put my hand on his shoulder, expecting him to, you know, turn around and what's going on. He didn't turn around. He didn't say anything. I was like, okay, God. Dear Jesus, I don't know what you want me to say or what. And I just prayed, and it was probably the easiest prayer I've ever prayed. God spoke through me, and just his words, just, it was just an amazing feeling. And, I was over there for a couple minutes praying, and when I got done, I gave him the little rub, like tap, like, okay, all done. And, he didn't turn around. I was like expecting him to be like, oh, thank you, but he didn't turn around. He didn't say nothing. He just kept praying and doing his thing. And I was like, okay, sweet. So I booked it back to my spot before anything happened. And I was like, I was so on fire. I was like, God, what do you want me to do now? Like, do you want me to pray for her? I like looked back at my friend Ricky, because she was having some problems that week, and I was like, do you want me to pray for her? Like, what else do you want me to do? And so then I started praying again, and then Ricky came up to me, and she you know, did the shoulder thing and turned around. she's like, Faith, I just want to tell you that I saw God in the corner of this room, and he just wanted me to tell you that he is so proud of you and how much you've grown and how much you've done for him. And he's just so proud of you and he loves you so much. And it was a lot that day. And I just hugged her and we cried. It was amazing. and I thanked her for her obedience, because if she wouldn't have, I would have still felt that, you know, that guilt and that shame for not obeying right away. But God is still proud of me regardless, and he still loves me no matter what I do. So then I was overwhelmed. And so I just kind of like, I just knelt down on the floor. Everyone's still praising God. And I opened my phone because I was going to continue reading where I was reading that day. But at that time, I had also had accountability partner, Evan. And I had sent him what I was reading earlier from my quiet time that day, and when I opened my phone, he had sent me a text saying, I'm dealing with some things back home, and that those verses that you sent, that passage that you sent, that really hit home for me, and I thank you so much for sending me that. And so then I was just overwhelmed again, and I was like, God, you're so moving today. It was just really good. It was a really good day that day, with everything. And then after worship, a few of us went out and got tacos, and it was even better. But yeah, so that was kind of one of the bigger moments, just kind of fighting with God and being able to talk with him. But this, we did also some bass ministry while we were there. Emma, she was on garbage duty with me. We had to clean up. They had recently purchased a plot of land right in front of the building. They were planning on extending their cafeteria because of COVID, Mexico is probably the easiest country to get into right now. So a lot of the outreach teams from other bases are coming to Mexico for outreach. So they're expanding quite a bit right now. But we had to pull out a bunch of thorns and trees. We were on garbage duty, so we were down in this ditch where there was needles and broken bottles and everything, and one of us got poked, and it was a mess. But this is, we got to work with the Norwegian team. They are some hard workers. It was a really great time, though. It was Ricky and Ashlyn. Definitely my two favorite people. We have machetes to help cut down. We did use all of those. Oh, and these are some more pictures from Bibles for Mexico. This is a little boy from the family that we had helped clear out their plot for Homes of Hope. He was very tired that day. and then with Homes of Hope, they also, in their home, if you can see the little white tub, that's actually a wash machine. And then they come with the fridge, the wash machine, the stove. And then these are some of the girls. That's the wall that they were building around their home to, like, kind of fence it in. And they said that they actually really like when they do that because it means that they want to make it their home. A few of the other homes that we had been to that they built in the past, they actually had sold them to someone else. Like, people that were living there weren't the people who had originally got the house. So a lot of people will, you know, buy the land, get the house, and then sell it for more than, you know, they obviously paid for it. A lot of people did that. But some other ministries that we did that I don't have pictures for, that was also some of the girls from Homes of Hope. But some of the other mission that we did that I don't have pictures for was the ship ministry. So in Mazatlan, they have a ship called the Amazing Grace. It's plans to be a medical ship for the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. They've been working on the ship for probably the last 4 to 5 years, just with everything, with getting the correct permits, making sure it's seaworthy. And then they had a hurricane back in October last year. And so then they had to redo a whole nother side of the ship wall. They haven't been able to get it out. But while we were in Mazatlan, we were actually the first team to be able to stay overnight on the ship. And that was really cool. We stayed up till like 1 a.m. playing card games and just, you know, having fun on the boat. It was really cool. And then we got to take a boat over to, I'm pretty sure I do have pictures of this actually, but let's go through. Now there's me talking. This is my lucky dress. this is some of the fruit and the food from the dump ministry as well. That day we had chicken and broccoli with rice. Looked good. I didn't eat any, but it looked good. Papaya. I was also the photographer, so I'm probably not in like any of these pictures, but there's us making the juice. We had to add a lot of sugar. That's what it looked like at the end. It's kind of chunky. But it's, they said it's very good for your digestive system. So, yeah, it's putting in jugs. They're serving the food. This is Ashlyn. She was actually, we had so many people waiting around the truck for the food that she started giving her testimony while we were there as well. So, there's Rena and... that's Coco's wife. I forget her name. And that is Coco. He's a really cool guy. Oh, and this is the ship, the Amazing Grace. So yeah, while we were there, we didn't just get to spend the night. We also did a lot of cleaning on the boat. We washed the big, they call them fenders, the big buoys that they put on the side so it doesn't crash into the pier that they have there. Nasty work. We also got to help spray down just the aft end and the front end and everything. It was pretty cool being able to work on it. This is John. He's actually kind of heading up the whole ship ministry there. Him and his wife are originally from Florida, and he's a surgeon, and so is his wife. So they're kind of running the whole medical side. His dad or his brother... one of them owns like a big fishing thing down in Florida, so he's like grew up his whole life running boats and ships and all that for fishermen. So he knows a lot about what he's doing. This is Nora. She's the 32-year-old. she was a sweetheart. Nice chain. So yeah, while we were on the ship, we also got to go the next morning. We took the little tender out and took it to Stone Island, and we did some cleanup for this wonderful couple, John and Jill. They own a home there, and they were helping move out this elderly couple from their upstairs apartment because it's kind of like a three-story, different houses. So we helped kind of just clean up and then help the couple move out. Some pictures from that. And when we were done, we got to walk all the way over to this wonderful burrito place where it was probably the best food I've ever eaten. But that's all of us with the couple there. Here's some more pictures of the Amazing Grace. But... yeah, I think that's all I have for now. But thank you for listening, and thank you for everyone supporting me through financial donations or just prayers. I know I really couldn't have done it without all of you prayer warriors behind me. You guys are definitely the most supportive group I've ever had in my life. So thank you so much for everything. And I hope that this explains a lot. If you guys have any more questions, you can come up and ask me. But yeah, so thank you.